Patients with anxiety benefited for at least 16 weeks after a couple of doses of LSD, which is remarkable. Psychedelic means mind-revealing. The psychedelics, they have been used for thousands of years.
Research scientist Dr. Friederike Holtz.
Psychedelics act via 5-HT2A receptors. It's a type of serotonin receptors in our brain.
President Richard Nixon in America demonized psychedelics, which is really unfortunate because it set back research into psychedelics and our appreciation of their therapeutic potential.
Yes, exactly. They have been demonized. And you can also refer to the 70s, 80s and 90s, like an ice age of psychedelic research for depression, which is a major indication for psychedelics. SSRIs do not work for all people, and also all other treatment options we currently have do not work for all people. And there are so many people with psychiatric illnesses that it has become very important to find new solutions. The more positive effects you have during an acute trip, the better is your treatment outcome. And I think this is one of the big questions that needs to be addressed in further trials. Which people benefit the most? How much treatment is needed and how often is the treatment needed? In psychedelics, it is that every trip and every person is...
Hey there, welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast. If you're new around here, my name is Matthew. You'll find me here every Monday and Thursday talking to really interesting people, experts in the fields of health, well-being and self-improvement. So if those are fields of interest to you, you are in the right place. And if you're already familiar with some of the over 400 episodes, yes, over 400 episodes that I've recorded on this podcast series over the last 4 years. And if you're enjoying those episodes and would like to show your support, you can do it right now. It's free. You can like, subscribe, share with other people who you think might also enjoy this content. Leave the podcast a positive rating on iTunes or on Spotify, which many of you have done to date. Thank you. And if you're over on YouTube, you can check us out there. Become a subscriber, as many of you have done to date. Thank you so much. And what I have noticed, though, is that many, many people who are tuning in aren't quite subscribed yet. So please take the 2 seconds and subscribe if you're on YouTube. You can also leave a comment and click that bell notification for any future videos. As I said, they come every Monday and Thursday. Now, it's well known that there is currently a mental health crisis all across the world, but the field of psychiatry has evolved little in recent decades, and existing drugs used to treat patients have response rates ranging from at best 50 to 70% depending on the drug. In addition, those taking SSRIs, for example, for their depression, are locked into that prescription for their lifetime. So the appetite exists for alternative approaches. Psychedelic drugs and associated research are now seeing renewed interest. No longer are they solely associated with their recreational use during the hippie era of the 1960s, but increasingly, more and more studies are pointing to their efficacy when it comes to dealing with mental health problems like anxiety and depression. With that in mind, I speak with research scientist Dr. Friederike Holtz, who explains what psychedelics are and what we understand about how they work in the brain. We hear about the remarkable ability of LSD, for example, to treat anxiety with long-standing results after only a couple of doses. Dr. Holtz compares LSD with psilocybin and details the benefits of both psychedelics, while also outlining the potential negative effects that do exist. Also expect to learn about how MDMA studies have shown promising results for dealing with PTSD symptoms. Now, it goes without saying that while psychedelics have been used by people for eons, and many people will report their own positive experiences when they've used them for their own therapeutic purposes, scientists must prove their efficacy in a replicable way and in a controlled environment. And as frustrating as many people may find this, it is the only way forward if psychedelics are to become a mainstream approach to treating conditions like depression, which blights so many people. This discussion, it also goes without saying, is purely for educational purposes. The whole subject of psychedelic drugs is really, really exciting. And I know there's enormous therapeutic potential for people with mental health issues and with psychiatric problems. What, first of all, what are psychedelics? And then how has mankind used psychedelics down through history? Because this is not new. This is not new. We've been using them for thousands of years.
No, absolutely. Psychedelics are not new at all. They have been used for thousands of years, especially in the South America, for example, ayahuasca, if that's a term, and also in Mexico, psilocybin or magic mushrooms, mostly for ritual purposes, for spiritual and sacred purposes. And psychedelics act via 5-HT2A receptors. That's a type of serotonin receptors we have in our brain, and they activate that specific receptor. All compounds that act via that receptor are called classic psychedelics. There are also other compounds that are also referred to as psychedelics, but that do not act via this receptor. That might be MDMA or ketamine. Yeah, but there's still a class of psychedelics. And what does psychedelic mean? Psychedelic means mind revealing. They used to be referred to also as hallucinogens, but we kind of moved on to that and used the word psychedelic now.
And I understand that there has been a change in recent years in the scientific and medical communities as to how they view psychedelics, because in the past, if we go back to the late 60s and early 70s, I know President Richard Nixon in America demonized psychedelics. They were associated at that point in time with the hippie craze, and they were classed as a Schedule One controlled substance in the same class as heroin, which is really unfortunate because it set back our research into psychedelics and our appreciation of their therapeutic potential.
Yes, exactly. They have been demonized for many, many years and set back our research. And you can also refer to the 70s, 80s, and 90s like an ice age of psychedelic research. Psychedelic were thought to be narcotics as well, and their potential of dependency was kind of miscommunicated, so they were put all together in the one pot with all the other drugs, as we like to call them. But then in the beginning of the 2000s, researchers in the US and in Switzerland got back to like realizing that we have to look at these because these compounds might have a huge potential. And we also have to admit that in psychiatry, not much has happened since the 90s when SSRIs were developed. And we still know that, for example, for depression, which is a major indication for psychedelics, SSRIs do not work for all people. And also all other treatment options we currently have do not work for all people. So they kind of got slowly gotten back into research for especially these people that suffer from depression or anxiety disorders that are not treatable with current methods we have. And there are so many people with psychiatric illnesses that it has become very important to find new solutions, and that's where psychedelics come into place.
So this has kind of forced people's hands in that before they were turning their backs on psychedelics, but now it's through a need to find a new effective approach to treating people with psychological and mental health issues and psychiatric issues. Now we have to entertain the whole area of psychedelics. And this is where people like you come in, because I know you've been busy doing studies on the use of LSD in patients with anxiety, depression, and cluster headaches. So can you talk to me about your studies? First of all, why did you, or what was the purpose of carrying out these studies? And then what did the studies involve and how did they go along for? And then ultimately, what did your studies reveal?
The study in anxiety disorders was conducted a few years back, and it was a study that was based on an older study, which was a pilot trial in patients with anxiety that was related to a somatic illness, for example, cancer. So specifically life-threatening illnesses where a certain type of anxiety comes up, especially the fear of dying or what is happening with my life as soon as people get a diagnosis like that. And then in 2017, we started making a larger trial out of that, and we expanded the inclusion criteria from people that only have an anxiety disorder with a life-threatening illness to people that have, for example, a generalized anxiety disorder or another type of anxiety disorder that is not connected to a somatic illness. And that trial was the first double-blind randomized controlled trial with LSD that was actually done again after this ice age of psychedelic research. And it revealed that patients with anxiety, regardless what type of anxiety disorder they have, benefited for at least 16 weeks, which is 4 months after a couple doses of LSD, which is remarkable. Other treatments in anxiety disorders involve daily administration of medications such as, for example, benzodiazepines or SSRIs, and they don't work as well. So there we actually found something, and this is been moved on by a company, and it has recently gotten breakthrough designation by the FDA for the treatment of generalized anxiety disorder. So LSD is back in the game, and I hope to see it being brought forward.
That's extraordinary. So only a couple of doses can give rise to a reduction, or is it an elimination of generalized anxiety for up to 16 weeks in the person who takes it?
The symptoms significantly go down. Some people get into remission, but of course not all people get into remission after a couple of doses. And I think this is one of the big questions that needs to be addressed in further trials. Which people benefit the most? How much treatment is needed and how often is the treatment needed? But yes, only a couple of doses already help for a very long time.
Amazing. Now, I also know that whenever people are taking psychedelics, there are physiological exchanges that happen in their bodies. So their blood pressure will change and their body temperature and their heart rate will change. Could you talk to me about this? And then if we could talk then about the altered states of consciousness and what people report in this regard.
Every compound you take most likely does something to your body. And psychedelics do have a moderate increase in heart rate, blood pressure, body temperature. Moderate means it's significantly heightened compared with placebo. So people might also feel that something is going on and also their body warms up and something has happened to their body. But it's moderate. So some people do not even have an increase in it. So they seem to be in regard to cardiovascular health, they seem to be relatively safe. And of course, it's a dose question. So the higher you dose, the higher increase in these cardiovascular stimulations you get. And then to the alterations in state of consciousness, this is what psychedelics typically do. They change how you perceive the world around you. And they don't only change how you perceive the world around you, but also how you might perceive your inner feelings. So there's a general change of perception under the acute influence of these compounds.
Now, you said something interesting there, and I just want to come back on that point. Is it the case that, well, you said already that once we increase the dose, the level of side effects becomes more evident, but there's no scientifically defined dose-effect relationship at the same time. Is that the case? If I take 20 micrograms of LSD, for example, well, you can't say that 20 micrograms will have the same effect on everybody and give rise to the same symptoms or side effects in every single person.
Yes, so that's also a big issue in psychedelics, is that every trip and every person is unique. And what are factors that influence the experiences? We are not sure yet. There are some types of dose response studies that have been conducted, especially with LSD. We've conducted in Switzerland one that includes very low doses up to very high doses. What we do see is that there's actually a ceiling effect coming up, especially for the acute alterations in state of consciousness. Especially the positive effect seemed to reach the highest effect at a dose of approximately 100 micrograms of LSD. That means if you dose up higher than 100 micrograms of LSD, for example, only side effects or negative effects increase further, but not the positive effects. And this is especially important because positive acute alterations in consciousness in treatment studies have been shown to be linked with the therapeutic outcomes, which means the more positive effects you have during an acute trip, the better is your treatment outcome.
Very interesting. You mentioned negative side effects there. What kind of negative side effects could somebody be looking at if they take LSD in this context?
Negative effects are various as well as positive effects. That's a point I'd like to make, that it does not happen to everyone and not every negative effect happens to everyone. But what we typically see is that the beginning of the trip, when people start to accommodate to the alterations in state of consciousness, like the coming up phase, we typically see some anxiety because people don't know what is happening to them. And especially depending on the dose, this coming up phase might be very quickly. So you get some anxiety there, but there are also physical side effects such as nausea or just a feeling of unwellness. People don't really know what happens to them. And this effect may remain over a trip. They usually, or they always basically disappear when the substance gets out of your body. So when the trip is done, the side effects also usually disappear.
That's really interesting, because if we go back to what you said originally about treating a generalized anxiety with the LSD, you said that a couple of doses can yield up to 16 weeks of an improvement or a dissipation in their general anxiety levels. So it's interesting that people can reap the benefits for up to 4 months, yet when it comes to the negative side effects, they seem to dissipate an awful lot quicker. Would that be true?
Yes, I agree. And I think with that, you also hit another question. It's like something that induces acutely anxiety helps against long-term anxiety. But I'd say it's a different type of anxiety. It's just the acute fear of not knowing what happens to you compared with an anxiety disorder where people might be scared of just stepping out in the morning, but it's in a different setting. Yes, and the side effects usually disappear when the acute effects, also the acute positive effects disappear, but there might also be long-term side effects. And I think we also have to talk about them. There are not only long-term beneficial effects, but what has been reported is that people might experience something called HPPD, which is hallucinogenic persisting perception disorder. It's very rarely, but it has been described in the literature that people might have persisting changes in what they perceive. This has, to my knowledge, not been described yet for any new psychedelic trials, but we have to be aware of side effects. And also in regard to a lot of recreational users that are, of course, also picking up on that. And then there is something called flashbacks, which means that people re-experience parts of the, or might re-experience parts of their acute trips later on. And this has also been very rarely described in rare cases to it, but it still might happen. And people might perceive this as a long-lasting side effect. And what we also have to talk about is that generally, the populations that have been treated right now in clinical trials are hand-picked populations. People have been screened very carefully on all their other psychiatric illnesses and also on their family histories. One point I'd like to touch upon there is psychotic disorders. If you have psychotic disorders in your family, you're usually excluded from psychedelic trials because psychotic disorders are hereditary or can be inherited, and it might be a trigger to induce this. We don't, as said, we also have not seen that yet in psychedelic trials, to my knowledge, because people are screened very carefully.
We've been talking about LSD. If I can move to psilocybin, because it seems to be getting an awful lot of coverage at the moment, certainly in the press, and there seems to be a huge potential for this in medical circles. Could you tell us what's the difference between LSD and psilocybin?
Psilocybin comes from these magic mushrooms. It's therefore more a natural substance, whereas LSD, for example, is a semi-synthetic substance. In regard to their acute effects, what's the difference? So far, the only difference that we were able to describe were effect durations. While an LSD trip might last up to 10, 12 hours, depending on the dose, a psilocybin trip is usually a lot quicker and only takes 5 to 6 hours. But other than that, the substances are comparable. Their alterations in state of consciousness they induce are very comparable.
Anecdotally, having spoken to people and read and researched this area when it comes to psilocybin in particular, anecdotally, there seems to be an awful lot of positivity around this particular psychedelic from the point of view of its ability to have a positive effect on somebody, particularly those people who have been suffering with mental health problems for a long time. And now it seems to be universally the case that people are talking about it in a positive way. Surely that can't always be the case. Can you talk to us first of all about the positive effects and its therapeutic potential, but also as with LSD, could you talk to us about the downside, the negative effects that taking something like psilocybin could have on any individual?
So psilocybin is especially currently under investigation for treatment-resistant depression. It has entered phase 3 trials, which means that they're really trying to get towards approval with that compound. Not only treatment-resistant depression is an indication, but there is a lot of studies going on. One would be major depressive disorders or substance use disorders are also for heavily in the spotlight, like alcohol use disorder. There has also been conducted some pilot trials, for example, on anorexia. So the indications are kind of wide, and there's more research out there compared with LSD. The positive effects are, as said, there's not a lot of difference between LSD and psilocybin, and so are the negative effects. When we look at the side effects that occur during a trip or after a trip, they are comparable with LSD. So all these compounds that act via these 5-HT2A receptors that I mentioned before have the same positive but as negative effect profile.
To explain to me what's happening in the brain just generally, I know we don't know exactly what the mechanism is, but I have read elsewhere that these psychedelics increase the connectivity across the brain of different parts of the brain, and this is what helps one with the trip itself, but also helps with the therapeutic component.
Yes, so there we have maybe two factors, or like two different factors that could be important, and that could either be biological factors or psychological factors. Biological factors are usually referred to as neuroplasticity. And what is that? Maybe a simple explain is you have a company party and you work at a very large company, and usually you only talk to the people in your office. But once you're out at the party, you meet people from different areas of the in the same company you've never been talked to. And the next day, everything goes back to normal, but some of these connections might remain. And this is what we've referred to as neuroplasticity, because we also know that novel neurons are being built, and some of these connections might remain. But then, of course, there's the connectivity, and that also goes a bit, as you mentioned, goes a bit into the same direction. Areas in the brain that usually do not communicate with one another start to communicate. And that's also where these alterations in state of consciousness come from. And then, of course, there is psychological factors. And that might also be that you start to see your life from a different perspective during an acute trip. And this might be especially important because people might realize how they can take things and how they might be able to feel different about certain problems they're facing or certain feelings they are facing in their daily routines.
We're talking here about the trip, the therapeutic trip as such, and this happens whenever you take a therapeutic dose of the psychedelic psilocybin in this particular instance. Microdosing is a way of taking these drugs also, but microdosing is, by virtue of the name, the word micro, you're taking a much smaller dose of this. Could you talk to us just a little bit about microdosing and about its efficacy as far as people's benefit from these psychedelics are concerned?
There is a lot of literature, especially trivial literature out there in regard to microdosing and many sales reports in regard to microdosing, but the scientific part lags a bit behind. So there haven't been many microdosing studies, be it with psilocybin or LSD, conducted. And the ones that have been conducted were mostly in a healthy setting. And their research has failed to show anything so far. But in regard to therapeutic outcomes, there has been recently, I think, an LSD study been conducted where they did see that it helps with depression. It was a small pilot trial, so this needs to be confirmed in a larger study. For the microdosing, people tend to prefer the LSD over the mushrooms in research settings, whereas it might be different in recreational settings. And another study has also been shown that people that have heightened depression scores but are usually healthy seem to benefit in regarding to mood from small doses of these compounds. But as said, the evidence is not really there yet where we would like to have it. And everything that people report, as long as it's not scientifically proven, it might be due to placebo effects, because you know you are taking something that might help you to feel better. But I hope that this will be, so it's still a matter of research, and I think people are working on it so that we get some evidence there soon.
I think it's important to say that people will be watching this and will probably be shouting at the screen or shouting at their device that they're listening to this on, because they'll have personal experience of microdosing with psychedelics and it will have worked for them. But I suppose for you being a research scientist, you're interested not just in anecdotal evidence, but you're interested in actually being able to replicate these studies and prove them in a lab and in the real world, etc. So that I think it's important to highlight that you're not negating what other people are saying, but it has to be verifiable because, as I said, you're a scientist. Can we move just briefly to MDMA or ecstasy and ketamine? We know these have been used in recreational circumstances for years, but from a therapeutic standpoint, I know that MDMA has been involved with studies in relation to PTSD. Do you know anything about this?
MDMA so far is very far in its development process, especially for PTSD. Studies have been going on for many years, and it has been like the phase 3 studies have been finished. So it's currently in the FDA process and it might get approved as treatment at the end of this year, if everything goes well. So it's quite far, and it's also an important indication, but we kind of have to maybe separate LSD and psilocybin from MDMA on how it works. MDMA is more a substance-assisted psychotherapy. So there is actually that actual psychotherapy going on during an acute MDMA trip. You're in a room with a psychotherapist and you work on your trauma. Whereas LSD and psilocybin, you have a preparation before and an integration after and maybe psychotherapy after. But during an acute LSD or psilocybin trip, you cannot do any psychotherapy where you can do that during an acute MDMA trip. So that's the big difference between these compounds. Yes, and this is also probably one of the first big compounds in the psychedelic realm that hopefully will get approved at the end of this year.
Amazing. At the outset, you spoke about an ice age when it came to research into this whole psychedelic field. Thankfully, that seems to be really changing now because we seem to be on the cusp of some really big breakthroughs. Are you hopeful for psychedelic science for the future?
I am very much. Otherwise, I wouldn't be working in it anymore.
Good answer.
No, I'm joking. Yes, I am. I'm very excited about it. And I have the feeling that, as I pointed out many times during this conversation we had, there's so much we don't know. And everything you do is you're the first one that looks at these things with novel modern research techniques. And so far, we have not seen much replication yet. So this will also be a second thing. And another very important thing is that we still do not really understand what these compounds do in our brains. And it's very exciting. And so there will be a lot more research going on. And I think they're there now. And I don't think that we will go into a second ice age so far, very soon, because they're back and people are excited about them and we want to work with them.
Well, that's great. It sounds like you're going to be busy for a few years yet. A pioneer indeed in the field of psychedelic research. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Holtz. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.